For my message tonight, I will use John 5:18. John chapter 5, verse 18. The word of God says the following. This is why the Jews began trying all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. Amen. About a year and a half ago, when we decided on the topics, this is one of the topics from tonight that I said, I don't want to preach about this. I don't want to preach about apologetics. Defending the faith. And I said, I don't want to see that. And when I looked on the calendar, guess what was next to my name for today? Apologetics. And I was a little bit afraid, but because I have not been trained in this, not many people in the Romanian community actually do this often. Here and there we hear it, but not that much in Romanian churches. So I pray that God will use me tonight to inspire you to strengthen your faith. And as I said, my topic is apologetics, but I'll focus on a small subject from this, and that is the divinity of Christ. In today's world, the most controversial thing about religion, when we're talking about religion, is Christ God or merely a good man? And most people in the world like the baby born in the manger. They like Christmas because of that. They like the wise teacher. He had a lot of good saying, a lot of wise teachings. They even like him as a revolutionary, just like some of the Jews thought that he was a revolutionary. They also like him as a good man because he was one of the best men around. But when it comes to liking him as Lord and Savior, that's where they back down. We Christians believe that Jesus was fully man and fully God while he was here on earth. And apologetics looks at a few arguments when it comes to defending the identity of Christ. And the argument that I'm going to look at partially tonight, I'm just going to look at the logical argument to support that Christ was God incarnate, and I will look at two aspects of this. Hopefully, God willing, some other time I will continue with the logical and moral arguments later, but tonight I will just look at Jesus' actions and Jesus' words that prove that he's God incarnate. First, I would like to look at his words. Most people who attack the divinity of Christ say that Jesus never claimed to be God, never claimed to be divine. But if we look carefully in the scripture, we'll find that Jesus actually claimed to be God. Jesus taught that to know him was to know God. To see him was to see God. To believe in him was to believe in God. To receive him was to receive God. To hate him was to hate God. To honor him was to honor God. He even called himself the Son of God throughout all four Gospels. Then he claimed to be sinless. If we look in John 8, verse 46, the word of God says, Jesus tells the Pharisees, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? In me. He claims to be sinless. Also, he uttered the divine I am when he was referring to himself. And that's in the same chapter, chapter 8 of John, verses 58. And we'll see the reaction of the Jews after that. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. And the reaction of the Jews, as this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. The Jews knew what that meant. I am. He didn't say, I was. He said, I am. Just like God presented himself to Moses and said, I am who I am. And this is a claim only God can make. Also, he claimed to give eternal life. And I won't read the verses, but in John 3:16, 5:39, 40, he called himself your Lord and teacher in John 13:14. He said that we will be judged by the way we treat him. If we look in Matthew 25, it's a long passage. He said, you know, if you give somebody a glass of water in my name, you give it to me. You know, and we will be judged based on how we treat him. But one of the most pointing evidences when it comes to Jesus' words, his words claiming that he was God, comes from his trial. If we look in Mark 14, 60 to 64, Jesus is under oath in front of the high priest. And when the high priest questions him and asks him, are you Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? He answers the following way, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. In front of the Sanhedrin, in front of the Jewish council, he knew what that meant. He was under oath. He said, yes, I am. He knew that meant death penalty, because for the Jews at that time, it was considered a blasphemy for somebody to call himself the Son of God. Just like we have seen in the passage I read from John 8, they picked up stones. As soon as they said, I am, they knew who he was claiming to be. They knew he was claiming to be God, and they were planning on killing him over that. And the last thing that I'm going to look at his words is the way he started his teachings. Whenever he would have something very important to say to the disciples and the people listening to him, he would start with the phrase, "I am, amen, I say to you," that is, or "truly, truly, I say to you," which basically means, I swear in advance to the truthfulness of what I'm about to say. This is very important, because in the Jewish culture, you needed the testimony of two people when something was said. And in Jesus, when he says that, amen, I say to you, he says, I don't need anybody else's authority. I speak for myself. I speak on my own authority because I am God. I don't need two witnesses. I am the witness. I am the truth. And you have to listen to me. I speak on my own authority. So for those people out there claiming that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God, here are a few pieces of evidence. Here are a few claims that Jesus made that truly prove that he was God. The second thing we're going to look at tonight is his actions. Jesus' actions speak a lot about his claim to be God. First, and I'm going to read a few passages for this, Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. It's a very known passage from the Bible. It's when the four friends bring the paralytic to him through the roof. And starting with verse 5, the word of God says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Now, we know we're supposed to forgive those who forgive against us, right? But can we forgive somebody who sins against God? Do we have that authority as human beings? We don't. Only God has the authority to forgive sins committed against himself. And when Jesus claims that I have the authority to forgive sins, he claims I am God, because only God can forgive sins committed against himself. Also, he accepted worship like God. If we look in Matthew 21, when he entered in Jerusalem, we have Palm Sunday for that. Matthew 21, verse 9 first. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And then we see the reaction of the priests, and Jesus replied to them in verses 15 and 16. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? He accepted praise. Also from the women that met him after his resurrection in 28, verses 9 and 10. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Jesus doesn't stop them. Even though we know worship is for God alone. And from this, we see that Jesus, his action of accepting worship means that he knows, he claims that he is God. Also, he performed miracles, but barely performing miracles doesn't mean you're God. They're human beings who perform miracles. But he says, when I perform miracles, I perform them using the finger of God, by the finger of God, basically saying God's presence, God's authority is here when I perform a miracle. I do this by the finger of God. Also, another action that points to his divinity is the fact that he changes names. We saw that he changed Simon's name into Peter. And that's something that the Jews of his time believed that only God can do. Only God can change your name, just like he changed Jacob's name from Jacob into Israel. Okay? Only God has that authority. Now, in conclusion, we see that through his words and through his actions, Jesus claims that he is God. And I would like to leave you with a little story, a true story. As I was reading the Case for Faith by Strobel, in the introduction, he interviews somebody who could have been as big as Billy Graham. His name was Charles Templeton. He actually, when Billy Graham started his ministry in his early 20s, he was with Billy Graham. And people said that he was at least as good as Billy Graham when preaching the word of God. But over time, something happened that changed this man, changed him from a minister of God, from an evangelist into an agnostic, somebody who doesn't know what to believe anymore. And he believes that Jesus is just a good man. He's not a God. He doesn't believe that anymore. But at the end of his interview with Strobel, he says something that made me stop in my tracks. At the end of the interview, and those were the last words he told Strobel, he says, I miss him. How can you miss merely a human being that lived far, far, long ago? How can you miss him? This agnostic, this person who says, I cannot believe anymore, and Jesus is just a man, he says, I miss him. Just from this statement, I realize that Jesus is more than a good man. Jesus is Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is my Savior. Now, the question is, what do you believe? What about you? Who do you think Jesus is? Are you ready to do what Thomas did? To fall on your knees and say, my Lord and my God. May God help us all. Amen.